I shall now call upon Brother Cox to give us the word of exhortation.
Good morning once again, brothers and sisters. We're all familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, and I guess we possibly, maybe even enviously, look at other brothers and sisters and think, I wish I could bear some of the same fruits as them. So to this end, I think it's worth maybe looking at the natural creation around us in order to try and gain some spiritual lessons. After all, Jesus and others in the New Testament, they often refer to the natural creation around us to give spiritual guidance. And I guess one of the reasons for this is that the hearers of those words would look around, they'd see natural fruits every day, and they'd be regularly reminded of some spiritual significance. So I'm going to start in John chapter 12, where Jesus talks about germination. Now, germination, as we know, is when a seed begins to put out shoots and roots. It's the beginning of a new plant. And in order for a seed to actually germinate, it needs various things. It needs water, it needs oxygen, it needs correct soil conditions. So taking the water first, the water helps new life to be created out of the old. As the water is taken in, the seed swells bigger and bigger until its coat splits apart and new life begins. And I think that's something Jesus is getting at in John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. I suppose for us as believers, germination could be likened to the waters of baptism, where our old life dies, and in that death, a newborn babe is produced. And once the natural seed has died, once that coat, the shell, has split apart, air can get inside. And that helps a new creation to emerge. The oxygen in the air helps the baby plant burn the food that was packed inside the seed. And burning the food produces energy, which the baby plant uses to grow. And as it grows, the root starts to grow downwards, and the baby stem begins to curl upwards. And in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul uses a similar terminology to describe how the Spirit of God should work within believers to produce a firm foundation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in order for the natural plant to continue growing, it needs energy. And Photosynthesis is how plants produce the energy needed for growth. And that photosynthesis basically is a chemical process which occurs within the plant, and it involves light, it involves water, and it involves carbon dioxide, all reacting in such a way as to produce food which provides the plant with the energy required to continue growing. And spiritually, light, we know, is important for a believer. On a number of occasions, in both Old and New Testaments, we read of how God's glory manifests itself through light in order to be a guide to his people. The angel of God's presence, I guess, is the most obvious manifestation of God's glory in the Old Testament. And that angel appeared as a light to guide the children of Israel. But as John tells us in this first chapter of his gospel, Jesus is the true light. His life, Jesus' example in his life, is the light which the believer needs to walk in order to bring about change. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The second element required for photosynthesis also has a spiritual application. Water is a symbol of a believer's access to a new life. And whilst the physical act of water baptism is a one-off act, the water of life is necessary throughout discipleship. In reality, a believer needs to, as Paul puts it, die daily with Jesus. So spiritually, water is a reminder to a believer of the need to be constantly washed, to be cleansed, to be revitalized by the water of life. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 7, he tells believers that partaking of this water of life can spring up as a well of water which can overflow and become a river of living waters within the believer. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, come, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the third element required for photosynthesis to work is carbon dioxide. And from a spiritual perspective, I think this too has a significant application. The plant uses the sun and the water, so it uses light and water, to convert carbon dioxide into food. And that produces the required energy to continue growing. And I think from a spiritual perspective, carbon dioxide could be seen as all that is evil and destructive in the world. The spirit of wickedness which prevails around us. And Jesus exhorts in Matthew chapter 5, he exhorts the believer needs to take all that is negative and make it work for good. Now, to make this possible, it's necessary for the believer to be constantly walking in the light of God, which is to follow Jesus' example. And it's also necessary for the believer to be constantly refreshed by the Spirit of grace, which the water of life gives access to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, an interesting byproduct of photosynthesis is oxygen. And that's something that the plant produces. It freely gives it off. It doesn't use it. And in John chapter 15 and verse 26, where Jesus tells the disciples that they too should exude the Spirit of truth, that they should freely share the words of life to those around us. So the oxygen that's all around us in some ways maybe could remind us spiritually of the Spirit of truth that we have and which we should share. John 15 verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. It's worth noting as well that in the same chapter, chapter 15 of John, Jesus also uses the idea of pruning to give a spiritual lesson. In order to get a bumper harvest, it might be necessary to prune the branches so that the tree can put more of its energy into producing fruit. And so too, God, our Father, may chasten the believer in order to produce more of the fruits of the Spirit. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the ultimate goal of the plant is to create more seeds. Many plants produce fruit which assists with the growth and the spreading of the seed. And it should be the ultimate goal of every believer to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Now, throughout the life cycle of a plant, it has to have the right soil conditions. And in Luke chapter 8, it's a famous parable about the sower. And Jesus explains to his disciples what it all meant. How that the soil is the heart, and that throughout discipleship, the heart of a believer needs to be right so that it can bring forth fruit. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And that's what we need, brothers and sisters, a good heart, so that we can bring forth fruit. And I suppose it's quite fitting that when we think about producing fruit, that the emblems are in many ways representative of the produce of fruit. We have the bread which comes from the wheat, and we have the wine that comes from the grape. So it's a good reminder for us, isn't it, to bring forth fruit from a good heart.